Tony Campolo tells a story about himself with which many of us can identify. He writes, quote, that I was in an elevator one day in the Hyatt Hotel in Chicago, and a fellow passenger who was a teenager who looked to be about 15 or 16 years old was standing there next to me. How are you doing? I asked, trying to be friendly. His voice was grumpy as he replied, all right. You having a good day? I asked him. Yeah, he mumbled. There was no joy in this young man. When we got to the ground floor, the elevator doors did not open. I began to panic. I began banging on those doors, shouting, the doors won't open. Will somebody please get these doors open? I need to get out of here. Then I heard this voice behind me saying, sir, the door is open. As I turned, I realized that this was one of those elevators that had two doors, a front and a rear, and I was banging on the wrong doors. What amazed me, though, was that my fellow passenger did not laugh. As he started off the elevator, I took hold of his arm and pulled him back and said, hey, kid, laugh. This is funny. He couldn't wait to get away from me. Now, if you're asking me what this has to do with Christianity, Campolo writes, let me ask you something. Did you laugh out loud or at least chuckle on the inside when you read about my most embarrassing elevator moment? Unlike the often joyless world we live in, there is often a joyful hilarity that permeates those who are infused with the Holy Spirit and who know the joy of the Lord. Unquote. I don't know about you, but I laugh at myself all of the time. I get off many times on the wrong floor from the elevator at the hospitals because I don't look at the number before I get off, and I have found myself in the strangest places. And when I get there, I'm like, where am I in this hospital? This is eerie. The other day, I had three people to see in the hospital. I called to find out their room numbers. I didn't have a pen and paper, and so I was trying to remember them, and that was a mistake. That was the first mistake. So I'm looking, and I go on the fourth floor, and I find myself in the maternity ward when I'm looking for an elderly gentleman. And I'm like, obviously, I have the wrong room number in my head. The nurses were wonderful to redirect me to the right floor, so I found him. But we cannot take ourselves so seriously. We need to lighten up. God has given us this extraordinary gift of life, and God wants very much for us to enjoy it. When I look back over my life, some of my best memories are those times spent with friends. I'm so grateful to God for an incredible life and to have made so many wonderful friends through the church and friends from all over the world. My friends have taught me so much. Recently, my husband, Reverend Jeff, was asked to share more about his ministry with the visually handicapped years ago when we were in seminary. It was on his resume, and he was asked this question to share more about it. And it reminded us, when Jeff was telling me about some of those fun times that we had in Kentucky. One time, Jeff and I took the blind on a retreat at this beautiful conference center in Kentucky. And that Friday evening, we had planned a wiener roast. And we got the fire going, which was a miracle to begin with, because neither Jeff nor I are scouts or anything that great about camping. But Jeff realized at the moment we were ready for the wieners that he had forgotten the hot dogs. We had plenty of buns, but no wieners. So we filled up on marshmallows. And everybody had a good laugh at Jeff's expense. My husband, we refer to as the absent-minded professor, and so there were many times that he would forget things. And so when we left that particular church, they gave him a party, and they got him a special T-shirt made that said, "Know where your stuff is." And he wore it with pride and with joy. And we still don't have the T-shirt anymore, but we have that memory in our brain, and we laugh every time we remember that special T-shirt they got for him. The little things in life are what matter so much. Jesus and the disciples had been working together for 3 years. They knew each other's strengths and weaknesses. I'm sure that among those men, they probably played several practical jokes on each other in those 3 years. They loved being with Jesus, even though he challenged their comfort zones constantly. They wanted to spend time with him. They wanted to learn more from him. And they loved being with him and together. Good friends love spending time together. It doesn't have to be some grand, fancy occasion to have a good time. Good friends share their life journeys. They want to share their good times, and they know that they can also share their struggles with each other honestly. If you have a trustworthy friend, you have a blessing. Recently, one of my good friends went out of state to take care of her siblings who both had surgery at the same time and needed her help. She was gone for over 2 months, and I missed her so much. We longed to be together, but we couldn't. One of the reasons is that we don't have to explain ourselves to a good friend. They know us, they love us, and they accept us just as we are. This is what Jesus is sharing with the disciples. "I'm not going to call you servants anymore," he says, "but my friends. I have shared all that I know with you. I have bared my soul to you. And you know me," Jesus says, "and I know you very well." This is that intimacy, that bonding, that trust in a good friendship. This is one of my very favorite titles for Jesus. Yes, he's our Redeemer. Yes, he's our Savior. But he is our friend with a capital F. When we see Jesus as a friend, we also long to spend time with him, to be connected to him. This is the only way, Jesus is teaching the disciples, that we can bear fruit from our faith journeys. Only when we are connected with Jesus can we do God's work in the world in the way that God desires for us to do it. Only when we're connected with Jesus can we have the strength that we need to do what is needed. Only then can our souls be satisfied and filled with love, grace, and joy. The psalmist wrote, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And there is great joy in knowing Jesus and being in a good relationship with him. He says in this passage, "I want you to have my joy and to have it abundantly." There's a retired bishop named Bishop Will Willimon. I went to Baton Rouge, I think it was in March, to a seminar that he was leading. He's written lots of books. He's well-respected in the United Methodist Church. Years ago, he shared a story with Tony Campalo that's a little strange, but also inspiring at the same time. When Will was the young pastor of a small rural church, a Methodist church in the South, one night, after a very difficult church business meeting, he was out in front of the church changing the letters on the church sign. The congregants had all gone home, and he stood there, alone and frustrated, as he changed those letters to spell out the title for next Sunday's sermon. As he was working in a dispirited fashion, all of a sudden he looked up to see this strange-looking man standing next to him. The man appeared to be one of the homeless, someone that you would expect to see maybe in a large city, but seldom found on the back roads of a small rural community. This particular man was wearing a worn-out old hat and a tattered suit, and he asked Will, "Are you the preacher here?" Will answered, "Yes, I am." Then the strange visitor said, "Well, I just stopped by to tell you not to be discouraged. You're doing a good job, and I'm proud of you." Will asked the man, "Who are you?" And he was taken aback when he answered, "I'm Jesus." The strange visitor walked on down the road without any visible means of transportation. And Will went into the parsonage next door to the church and said to his wife, "The strangest thing just happened to me a few minutes ago. This shabby old man came up to me and said not to be discouraged, that I was doing a good job, and then to top it off, he told me he was Jesus." His wife quite seriously answered, "And how do you know it wasn't Jesus?" Maybe it was Jesus. Maybe it was an angel. Maybe it was a man who went around visiting churches and encouraging the pastor at random. Who knows? Only God knows the answer to that mystery. But regardless of who the man was, his message brought comfort and peace to Will's soul. So I want us to think this morning, what if we imagine our friend, Jesus, popping up in front of us when we need him the most? What if, when we come to the Lord in prayer, we wait and listen for an answer from our best and most precious friend? So many times we do not seek Jesus enough. Jesus spends a lot more time than we do looking for us and wanting to be with us and spend time with us. That famous song that I love so much, "Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you have to do is call, and I'll be there." Jesus will be there anytime for us. He will be there when all else fails. The children talked about loyalty. Jesus will be there with us to pick us up when we fall. That was already written in my sermon, to pick us up. And one of our little ones said, "When we fall, our friend will pick us up." And our friend will pick us up. He will also challenge us to move out of our comfort zone. And he will fill us with God's joy, that abundant life that he wants to give. God wants us to have a joyful journey, not always filled with despair or frustration or stress. So I encourage you this week, laugh often. Enjoy your life. Maybe you have some friends you want to call or reconnect with or have some crawfish with. Make some time to spend with your friends and be grateful for them. And may you seek out Jesus in whatever form he may appear to you. Amen.